Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, here with Mr. Paul Wearson, and we are your hosts today. In fact, this is Wednesday, so I am Mr. Wearson's sidekick today.
Well, welcome to you, Ursula, and welcome to all the folks at home.
And a brief look at the weather before we get started with today's show. The mild temperatures we've been enjoying earlier this week are predicted to continue, staying well below 80 degrees until Friday. Sunny days are expected until Friday, when there is some chance of rain and thunderstorms through Saturday night. Predictions for Sunday are sunny with a high around 88. Temperatures in the mid to high 80s will continue with a small chance of rain and storms on Sunday night and Monday, and then we are back to the sun and mid-80s temperatures on Monday. So, enjoy. Air conditioning is optional, but keep your car windows rolled up.
We have a full day for the next hour, and during this week's Tuning Into Agriculture segment, Greta Anderson tells us about a clean water ruling announced by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers that the Farm Bureau has objected to. Folks from Story County are here with us as well today, and we're going to talk with them about the Cornerstone to Capstone project, otherwise known as C2C. And if you're a Story County resident, it involves your citizen participation.
Before we go there, Paul, we'll visit Story County town of Colo. Lead the way, Paul.
Well, yes, we have the Crossroads Festival on the coming weekend, and I'm going to be over there to see that. It's the annual big doings over there. Colo is on Highway 30 east of Ames. Just keep going east on Highway 30, and you will be in Colo.
You're about halfway to Marshalltown, right?
That's right. And It's on Old Highway 32. And I'm going to talk with the entertainer of the weekend, my nephew, full disclosure, Ray Wearson. Are you there, Ray?
I am, Paul. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you over there in Davenport. I hope the sun is shining.
Good morning, Ray. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. And how's the weather going to be in Colo on Saturday?
It's going to be good. Going to be good. A little hot and humid, but you can handle that.
I can handle that.
You are my nephew, and I remember you've been singing all your life. I remember your one-man show when you were in high school at the Camelot Theater in Nevada. Tell me about what's happening currently, Ray. You and your son, Scott, are singing together.
That's right. My oldest son, Scott, I have three children, and Scott's my oldest, and he's been singing with me since he's been, you know, two or three years old. He just has had a knack for it, and he's enjoyed entertaining like I have. He's 41 now, so we've been singing a lot of years together.
My heavens, that's terrific. Now, this weekend, you're going to do a two-man show at, 11 o'clock in Colo, is that right?
Right. It's after the parade at the Colo Festival, and we'll be singing for 2 hours from 11 to 1, and it'll be outdoors at the shelter area in the park. And there's lots of things going on, of course, where you are singing, but it's not just a command performance. I mean, there'll be children, bouncy houses. But we try to get the crowd involved, and we do a lot of the old songs, but a lot of different styles from the Righteous Brothers, Everly Brothers, Elvis, Michael Bublé, the country, songs that we get the crowd involved in. So it'll be a lot of fun. But we have a good time, and I think people can see it when we perform that we're having a good time.
Well, I'm looking forward to your performance. I'm going to be in the audience on Saturday, and that's at 11 o'clock. You're going to sing for 2 hours. Can you do that?
Well, you know, you have to work and get that voice in shape. That's a long time. Usually our shows are an hour. This will be fun. We're looking forward to it.
And, of course, this is not your full-time vocation. You're retired. You were a chief executive, I believe, at Scott County over in Davenport, so you had a very responsible job.
That's right. I worked for Scott County for 32 years and fortunate enough to retire at an earlier age. In fact, I just got back with Scott and my son-in-law, Lee, from an eight-day rafting trip on the Colorado River to the Grand Canyon, 280 miles.
Thank God you survived that.
I know. We tried to sing to keep the voices in shape.
Well, that's good.
And it echoed off the canyons. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you sounded even better in the canyon, I'm sure.
It does. You always sound better in the canyon or in your bathroom.
Oh, that's true, yes. Well, we're looking forward to your show. Ray Wearson and son Scott performing at Colo's Crossroads Festival this Saturday over in Colo. It'll be at 11 o'clock. And, Ray, we're going to play your cover of Elvis Presley's song, All Shook Up.
Oh, terrific. Good talking to you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you thank when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I'm feeling fine. When I'm near the girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death. She touched my hand, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl that I love so fine. She touched my hand, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
This is Local Talk, where we're exploring the people's stories and the events in Central Iowa. I'm Paul Wearson, your host for today, together with Ursula Rudenberg, and we've been talking about the Colo Crossroads Festival, and we were just listening to All Shook Up, the Elvis Presley tune by Ray Wearson and his son Scott, and they will be the main entertainment at the Crossroads Festival at Colo at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And I wanted to check in with Sandra Human Kelly, one of the Colo Crossroads Festival planners. And I hope you're there, Sandy.
Yes, I am.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. We're really looking forward to this weekend, and that sound clip got me psyched to hear more of the music.
Well, Sandy runs the Nyland Cafe, but you've also been in a leadership role in planning the festival, so just give us a rundown.
Well, there's a scavenger hunt already underway, Paul. We have a full schedule. I think every year the festival changes just a little bit, festivities, so Thursday through Sunday. We're going to kick off Thursday night at the Colo Farmers Market, and we have a magic trick contest planned for the kids there. They'll have prizes, of course, and then they'll qualify actually to be part of the magic shows on Saturday. So if there's any kids out there listening, you know, work on your trick and come by Thursday night. We'll also have a crowning of the prince and princess for the festival at the market. So this is a little bit of a change to kick it off Thursday night. We have a free movie on Friday night.
What's the movie on Friday night?
When the Game Stands Tall. That'll be at 8 p.m. on Friday night. Saturday morning, there's a parade. Kitty Parade starts off at 10:15, and then the main parade is at 10:30. The tractor ride, I'm sure many of them will also be in the parade, and then they have a show afterwards. Our theme this year actually ties in with magic. It's Come Celebrate Crossroads of Lincoln and Jefferson Highways, Magic at the Crossroads. So we have a couple of professional magic shows planned at 1 and 3 p.m. on Saturday. We had an industrious group of ladies that go by the Colo Quilt Group that made a beautiful, beautiful quilt that's being wrapped off. It has actually the letters for the word Colo in it. It has the magic theme throughout that as well. So we'll still be selling some raffle tickets, and the drawing for that will be before the 3 o'clock Saturday magic show. We have T-shirts for sale that have a nice design incorporating the theme of the magic at the crossroads as a magic hat. And instead of the cards, playing cards coming out, the cards have Lincoln and Jefferson logos on them. So that's kind of a collectible, too, for the fact that Colo is the crossroads of the Lincoln and the Jefferson. The Jefferson, incidentally, celebrates its 100th birthday this year, so that's very exciting. It's just a lot going on, and come hungry. There's plenty of food. The firemen are doing a Saturday evening chicken dinner. The United Methodist Church has a pulled pork dinner, and then there's, of course, other food vendors and sweets and treats and all that, something for everyone. We have a number of different competitions. We have a 3-on-3 basketball, sand volleyball, There's going to be a 5K run Saturday morning sponsored by the Parks and Recreation here. There's a photo contest.
This sounds like a good event to bring children.
Oh, absolutely. A balloon fella will be wandering around. And then, of course, you know, you might be the lucky recipient with one of those interesting balloon designs. Just a relaxing day for everyone. Another event that likes to coordinate the weekend with us is the truck pull. It's a huge event on Sunday.
Sounds like you've got all kinds of activities planned for people of any age. And you're going to have a great classic car show. That really goes with the Nyland restaurant that you operate out there on Old Highway 30. So I love to see classic cars at a classic restaurant. That's a good idea.
Right. And a car roll-in, I know there's, you know, some people are a little confused as to what that is. It's a little different than a car show or a cruise in that it's less formal. It's drop by as you like, bring a car, or come see what anyone else has brought. There's no prizes, there's no registration fee, so it's, you know, very flexible that way. The cafe will have food available from 2 to 4, a limited menu, you know, the things that car people would want, tenderloins, burgers, and so forth. So that's what is going on there.
Now, this is an annual festival, is that right, Sandra?
Yes, yes. And it's generally been the second weekend in July.
Well, my compliments to you and all the folks who organize these festivals. You know, so many communities in Iowa have an annual summer festival. And a lot of the unseen work goes on behind the scenes, as we say, all the phone calls and all the organizational work to make things happen. So I compliment you for being one of those folks. I know it's a lot of hard work, and this weekend is the payoff. Colo Crossroads Festival. Thank you for being with us. Now, where can they get more information online about this?
The Colo Crossroads Festival has a Facebook page, and actually that's been very active. We've been emailing out the schedules.
Well, Sandra, thank you for being with us today. Colo Crossroads Festival, magic at the crossroads.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg, with Mr. Paul Wearson and the Colo Crossroads Festival, which will happen this weekend. We're going to switch gears a little, although we are staying in Story County. Colo is in Story County. Deb Shildroth is here with us in the studio, together with Leanne Harder. Deb is the Director of External Operations and County Services for Story County, and Leanne Harder is the County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. Welcome, Deb, and welcome, Leanne.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming this morning. And among various departments, you're involved with planning in Story County.
Yes, I am. In my new role with the county, I'm working closely with the Planning and Development Department, and am learning as I go along with the C2C process, which is, I think, one of the larger projects that is currently going on in Story County and involving the communities throughout the county.
Well, that's why we brought you here today. We want to talk about C2C, but before we get started on that, congratulations are in order.
Right. Thank you.
You recently received an award from the National Association of Counties for innovative, effective county government programs that enhance services for residents. That's for the entire county administration, really.
It's for strategically planning, building a solid future. It's an effort that started really in 2013, and we've been building on it ever since.
So tell us what happened when you got this award. This happened just about 2 weeks ago?
We were notified about 2 weeks ago, correct. We actually don't have the award yet. Wayne Clinton, who is a longtime supervisor for Story County, will be accepting it on behalf of Story County this weekend.
This is an annual award?
I believe NACO, which is the National Association of Counties, does hand out annually to counties throughout the nation.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. And presumably the C2C project was partly responsible for this kind of attention.
It's a relationship between both. C2C is an outcome of the strategically planning process, and we'll continue to build on it with the C2C. Mm-hmm. I do want to put a plug in for a couple of short videos on YouTube on Story County's channel that tell you about the award and what we've been doing over the past few years.
Wonderful. Where can we see the video?
If you go to Story County's website, which is www.storycountyiowa.gov, all spelled out, there's under news releases, there's a news release on the Go Achievement Award. Or if you go to our Story County, Iowa channel on YouTube, they're both out there as well. And our channel is just simply Story County, Iowa.
Great. And we'll also put a link to that on our website in case somebody has trouble finding it. They can find us through our website as well at khoyfm.org. Let's talk about C2C. This is a very interactive initiative on the part of the county. Why don't we start by you telling us what is the Corner to Capstone project all about?
All right. The Corner to Capstone project is a comprehensive planning process using the foundation that was built by Story County going back to 1950. The process is meant to design the county's future over the next 20 years, and the result will be a written document with physical and policy-based plans. It's a very transparent planning process. We've been encouraging community involvement, citizen involvement, every step of the way, and we can get to some of those activities a little bit later in the conversation. We're in this really in the starting points of the project, so there's plenty of opportunities coming up for involvement, whether it's in person or through social media or the C2C website.
So this is an invitation for participatory citizenship.
Absolutely.
So what is the driving force behind it? Who is doing this really, and how did it start?
Well, again, it's going back to that strategic planning effort and other activities that started really after 2011. Historically, Story County has been exceptional in land use planning, as Deb said, dating back to 1958, which is when we first adopted our zoning ordinance. As we've gone forward over the years, we've focused primarily on land use planning. And as some paradigm shifts occurred at the Board of Supervisors, we started realizing we need to be more comprehensive in our approach. And that led us to the C2C project.
Can you explain what you mean by paradigm shift?
That's a good question. Story County has always been a leader throughout the nation, Iowa and the nation, in our innovative approaches to programs, policies, the way we fund individual aspects of county government. When we have three new members of the board, or relatively new members of the Board of Supervisors, when 2011 occurred, we began taking a more active role in economic development and the role that Story County plays in our smaller communities. I mean our communities under 3,000. In the past, we haven't been as active as we have been.
The shift is really a more involvement in the small town communities in the county.
Right. We've embarked in some new programs, such as the facade improvement grant. We've used our wind farms to do some urban renewal projects in the smaller communities. They've provided technical assistance in the way of funding for doing capital improvements planning and comprehensive planning.
What is the time frame of the C2C project?
It's about 14 months when all said and done. We have a planning team that meets every couple of weeks, and we started meeting and setting the foundation for community meetings, for community input. A task force of over 30 members has been developed, and they meet on a monthly basis. So we have a survey out there for individuals to respond to, and then a draft of the plan will be developed after looking at those survey results and taking in consideration the input from the community meetings. That draft plan will then be initially presented to the Board of Supervisors and the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we're looking at doing that in August and September. And then changes will be made to that plan according to the input received from those meetings. And then the hope is that we will have what we're calling open house meetings in January of 2016. And again, the draft of the plan will be available. More input will be gathered. And the hope then is we'll have this wrapped up by June of 2016. So it is a kind of a long process. But again, it's to garner that support and input from the community and give those opportunities to individuals who are interested and want to be a part of the process.
You probably have to provide a lot of opportunities for input as people slowly become aware of the process. And how has the response been so far? Have you been getting people taking your survey?
Yes. As of a couple of weeks ago, when we had our last planning team meeting, I believe there were over 600 hits to responding to the survey, and people can still do that yet today. And you can do that on the C2C website or there are paper copies that have been made available at City Hall buildings throughout the county, or you can simply email and request a hard copy if that's the preferred way of taking the survey.
And then what is the end product of the survey and the other forms of input that you're looking for?
Obviously, we'll have a plan that's adopted by the Story County Board of Supervisors. And it's our hope that that plan doesn't just go on the shelf and start collecting dust, that we take it to the next step and we begin implementing it. And it's going to, again, build on everything we've been doing over the past few years in the history of solid planning in Story County. We'll have to take the necessary steps to write code or regulations if needed, to do the necessary steps to make sure that we successfully achieve the vision of the C2C project. But I see lots of other offshoots, possibly corridor planning, looking at our major highways, our trails throughout Story County, and then obviously some future investments in the improvements.
So the result of this input process will really manifest in the form of particular policies in the future?
Right.
Will there also be some sort of report given to the public as to what the results were of the surveys?
There
and
will
the
be.
Input?
There'll be an appendix to the plan. The plan itself should be rather straightforward and simple and identify the goals and the policies and the necessary steps we need to take. There'll be several appendices to the plan that will share demographic information. It'll share existing conditions, existing land uses, and of course, the results of the survey and all the public outreach steps we've been taking.
This is really a slow-motion referendum on how people want to live in Story County.
What we are looking at is what we want our quality of life to look at over the next 20 years into 2036.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we are speaking with Deb Shildroth and Leanne Harder from the Story County Administration. And Deb is the External Operations and County Services for Story County, and Leanne is with County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. And they're explaining the Corner to Capstone Plan, otherwise known as C2C. How does this plan complement other efforts that are underway in Story County?
The plan complements other kinds of efforts through the variety of communities and cities within the county have their own planning efforts, have their own kinds of plans. And the C2C process is taking into consideration those plans. So we're looking at what else is already out there that can be pulled into the C2C plan and hopefully expanded upon once the C2C plan has been completed. Story County, by virtue of it being the county government, is responsible for land use in the unincorporated areas. But we know that land use in cities and communities also impacts what's going on in the unincorporated areas and vice versa. So it's really important to look at that in a comprehensive way and be able to plan so very comprehensively. And I think, you know, my hope too is with the end result of this document, that any organization or entity that might be applying for grant funds can take this document and use the information that's in it to help support whatever kind of grant application they're completing. So hopefully, you know, it goes beyond and is useful in other ways for organizations and communities.
It's interesting. You said the Story County Administration is responsible for unincorporated areas in Story County. Help me out as a layperson here. Are you saying that the county, in a sense, has jurisdiction over any land that is not belonging to a particular town, or do you actually have jurisdiction within towns as well?
When we're talking strictly land use, so enforcement of zoning regulations, comprehensive planning, land use planning, the Code of Iowa specifically says through our Home Rule Authority and our County Zoning Authority that the unincorporated area is the jurisdiction of the Story County Board of Supervisors. Anything within city limits, and in some cases within 2 miles of corporate boundaries, lies primarily with the cities and the city councils.
So a lot of the C2C plan will apply to unincorporated land, or does it really reach into affecting towns as well?
It's both.
It's both.
And that's a great point to clarify. The land use planning component, that what we're planning for future land uses and the intentions for how we build and develop, when it comes down to the regulatory aspect, Story County has the final say, if you want to say it that way, in that matter. But being a comprehensive plan approach, we're looking at housing, transportation, economic development, parks and trails. Those are all affected, or the decisions that are outlined in that plan affect everyone comprehensively throughout Surrey County.
Yeah, I think comprehensive is the operative word here. Mm-hmm. Again, some of the issues that are in the survey, I've taken the survey.
Thank you.
And I actually think it's a fun survey to take. It's not a difficult experience. And essentially some of the aspects looked at are quality of life and transportation, natural resources, agriculture, hazards, housing, economic development, community services and facilities, and land use. Did I get them all?
I think you did get possibly intergovernmental cooperation, too.
Intergovernmental cooperation.
And those titles or those groupings are all eventually going to be elements of the comprehensive plan, the C2C plan.
So it really does reach into how communities are operated as well as how the land is used between the communities in Story County.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, why don't you outline what the opportunities are for involvement in this? Because this is really an invitation for participation and to really hear the vision of people living in Story County.
There's the C2C plan, which is www.c2cplan.com.
And this is an online survey that you can take. It's a multiple choice question. And so it's painless to take it. It takes you, what, about?
It's about 10 minutes is what we estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put a plug into our demographic. Our results from a demographic standpoint are showing that we're still lower in the numbers of youth taking the survey, which is obvious. Not a lot of youth time of year when school's not in session are willing to go online and take a 10-minute survey. But if you do know people that are that age, you know, 12 to 19, encourage them. You can do it on a mobile device. You can do it on a computer, on a smartphone, too. And it is painless to do.
And it's important to get the perspective of youth because that's the perspective of the future.
Right, exactly. Story County's website. We're also trying to maintain information out there. We're using our social media. We have our Facebook is Joseph Story and Story County, Iowa. And then our Twitter is Story County, Iowa, really trying to push information out there. We'll have a series of public meetings again, as Deb said, in January. But as she mentioned, the task force meetings and the project team meetings are all open to public as well. Deb is a great resource to reach out to for information, or the Story County Planning and Development staff for additional information. And, of course, if you have a group that wants to have a presentation, we would be glad to come.
Deb, how does one reach you?
They could reach me at the Story County Administration Building. My phone number is 515-382-7243.
Could you repeat that?
515-382-7243. The contact number for Planning and Development Office at the Story County Administration is 515-382-7245, 515-382-7245. And I would also like to add to what Leanne said, the C2C plan website is a website. So the survey is on that, but there's also a host of documents from the presentations that we did at the community input meetings. You can also sign up to get notifications when anything new has been added to that site. So I really encourage people to take a look at that and get an idea of what's all on that site, and questions may arise after taking a look at that. As far as the next public input opportunity, our task force meeting is tomorrow, Thursday, July, is that the 8th?
Ninth.
Thank you. It starts at 5:30, and it's at the Story County Administration Building in Nevada in the public meeting room on the second floor. And we really try hard to keep that meeting at about an hour, being mindful of everybody's time. So that will be the next public opportunity if anybody is interested in attending that meeting.
And what happens at a task force meeting?
What we'll be doing tomorrow night is reviewing where we're at with the results of the survey, how many people have responded, and kind of just a summary of what those responses have been. There'll be a review of the public input meetings, the community input meetings, and then a discussion on when the draft, first draft of the plan, will be made available for individuals to provide some additional input before it goes to the Board of Supervisors and the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Can you describe a little bit what the public meetings have been like? What happens at these meetings?
Sure, sure. The community input meetings were held in Huxley, Colo, Story City, and Ames. And depending on location, we had a variety as far as who attended. We have consultants that we're working with throughout this project. MSA Professional Services and Confluence have been the two organizations assisting. They've been at these community input meetings, and they start out by giving an overview of the C2C planning process. And then, depending on the size of the group, they'll break up into individual or smaller groups to work on strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the surrounding communities. And then they take that information and will compile it for the input into the plan. So,
and did you have people come to these meetings?
Yes, we did.
Did they enjoy it?
I believe so. very interactive. I think once we got the group exercise going, people felt a little more comfortable and would open up about what their concerns were, what they felt were positive aspects of the county and in the various communities. When I listed off those communities, there is definitely a variety of sizes mm-hmm. of those communities, but there were some common themes throughout those input meetings, and so that was interesting to hear that. And then, of course, just kind of individual concerns depending on what area of the county mm-hmm. Those communities are in.
That's very interesting. We are talking about the C2C plan, which is carried out by Story County, and we're speaking with Deb Shilroth, Director of External Operations and County Services for Story County, and Leanne Harder, County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. And Deb and Leanne, before we end this segment, I would love to ask you to address what are the first questions in the survey, which have to do with quality of life. So the first question on the survey they ask is, what are the three most important reasons you and your family choose to live and work in Story County? Would you share with us how you would answer that survey?
I took the survey,
uh-huh.
and my responses had to do with the quality of public services, the quality of the neighborhood, quality schools, and in the small town rural atmosphere. Those were important. I grew up in a small town in northeast Iowa, so that still is kind of part of who I am.
It's how you want to live.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I've enjoyed about going out to the community input meetings is being in those smaller communities and meeting some of those individuals. So those were important reasons for me.
How about you?
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I chose those as well, I did choose small town rural atmosphere and quality schools, but I did add a new near job. When we relocated back to Iowa from Colorado in 1998, we chose Story County as a place to start and raise our family.
You felt that it was a good place to raise a family?
It was, and it has been. It has been a wonderful place.
So I think this answers the second question that you do ask on the survey, which is, how would you rate the quality of life in Story County?
I'm going to start. I think it's excellent.
I would agree.
And what I heard from you is it's excellent because it's a good place to raise a family, because it's safe, it has good schools. Is that what you're saying?
It's safe, it has good schools, it has great people, a great support system, wonderful quality of life.
Okay, and then the third question that comes up is, what changes would you suggest to improve the quality of life in Story County? What would you say to that?
I had answered, I think they will improve over the next 5 years. Story County is a growing county. We have over 92,000 in population in this county, and I think the location, being so close to Des Moines, having the largest public university in our county are definitely reasons of why through this planning process, we need to look at how things are going to improve. I think, as Leanne mentioned, as we look at corridor kinds of opportunities and expansions and making the county just one of those places you want to move to is going to be very important. I think the Board of Supervisors and the various individuals who are serving on the city councils in our communities are very much aware of the opportunities and some of the concerns, and we'll work together on addressing that collectively so we can continue being the progressive and the county where you'd want to live.
And the four I chose, if I remember correctly, really do indicate that I have a growing household, but improve K-12 education and improve post-secondary education opportunities. And it's not necessarily the word improve, but continue to expand on the opportunities that are thriving in our smaller and larger school districts. And obviously with the research part expansion, our quality of life will be continue to improve as employment opportunities are improving and increasing. And then I did add improving the water quality. And Story County, through efforts of the Board of Supervisors, is really trying to address that.
Well, I've been a listener here. This is Paul. I'm still here. I'm fascinated by the question and answer. And one thing I'd like to add is the common complaint about government is that it's opaque, non-transparent, and that people feel powerless. And what you're doing here is demonstrating that all people need to do is take the opportunity to participate, and there will be a response. There will be an outcome that they're a part of. That's just very commendable that that's being done. And in my view, if you live in Story County and you're complaining about government or the direction of things, you'd better participate, because you have that opportunity. So I commend you for doing this, and I commend everyone who's been participating in these meetings for taking the opportunity to influence the future and have an input into what happens in Story County. My compliments to you.
And we've been speaking with Deb Shildroth, Director of External Operations and County Services, for the award-winning Story County Administration, as well as Leanne Harder, County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. And you've both been explaining the Cornerstone to Capstone Plan, otherwise known as C2C. They are really, as Paul said, inviting you here to exercise participatory citizenship. It's what democracy is made up of. And so share your vision for Story County's future by going to their survey online, and we will make a link to that survey on our website, khoifm.org, so it'll be really easy to find. And again, I did say award-winning because Story County was just recognized for innovative, effective county government programs that enhance services for residents with an achievement award from the National Association of Counties. So congratulations, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you coming
in.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you thank when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I'm feeling fine. When I'm near the girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death. She touched my hand, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl that I love so fine. She touched my hand, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, oh.
I'm all shook up.
Well, now, our weekly Tuning Into Agriculture segment is contributed this week by KHOI reporter Greta Anderson. This week's topic concerns a new clean water rule that was announced last May by the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Welcome to Tuning In to Agriculture, a locally produced segment heard every week at this time on Local Talk. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. Last year, the EPA issued a proposed clean water rule that would expand the waters covered by the Clean Water Act, which applies to, quote, navigable waters of the U.S. and their tributaries. In the ensuing months, rumors were flying that farm ditches and even puddles would now be under federal jurisdiction. Well, on May 27th of this year, the EPA and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers issued the final rule, incorporating the feedback they had received from citizens. The Farm Bureau immediately criticized the rule, saying that it only serves to confuse rather than clarify what waters are jurisdictional, and that it would hamper farmers' efforts to install conservation practices on their farms. I had the chance to talk with Karen Flournoy, director of the Waters, Wetlands, and Pesticides Division of EPA Region 7, covering Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and headquartered near Kansas City. We spoke about the new rule and what it means for farmers.
What this rule did was clarify previous Supreme Court decisions and also previous guidance that EPA and the Corps of Engineers had in terms of what waters are jurisdictional under the Clean Water Act. And this is a joint EPA and Corps of Engineers rule.
Okay, so when you say you clarified what the Supreme Court had already said, that means you weren't writing the law, you were just clarifying.
That's correct. We're clarifying two Supreme Court decisions.
Critics of this new rule, the Iowa Farm Bureau among them, has said that you ignored their 10,000 citizen petitions, mostly from farmers, in rewriting the rule. How would you respond to that?
Well, my response would be the agency received close to a million public comments, both EPA and the Corps. Those comments were reviewed by staff and managers from the two agencies. We made a number of changes between the proposed rule, which went out for public comment, and the final rule, which was published in the Federal Register. Some of the comments that we received were, which ditches are you regulating or not? We have now made it very clear that ditches that carry rainwater only are not jurisdictional ditches. That is an example of a public comment we received. Another public comment we received was about puddles. We're not regulating puddles. There were questions about farm ponds and stock watering ponds. Those ponds are not jurisdictional unless they are constructed in a tributary that meets the definition of tributary in the rule.
And a tributary would be leading to a navigable water.
Yes, that's correct.
And the way that the EPA assures the water quality of such water bodies is through a permitting process. Can you give an example of a situation where a farmer, because of the expansion of the Clean Water Act under this new rule, would have to go through an extra permitting process, whereas before he or she would just go ahead and make a modification to their land?
Okay, well, the first thing I would like to say in response to your question is if a farmer or a business did not need a Section 404 dredge and fill permit in the past, they will not need a dredge or fill permit under the new Clean Water Rule. I can give you an example of where a farmer could need a permit and would need to talk to the Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
And that would be a case where there is a jurisdictional tributary running through their farm, and if they wanted to build a pond in that jurisdictional tributary, for example, then they would need to go to the Corps of Engineers and work with the Corps to determine what kind of permit would be needed to construct that pond. If they had that jurisdictional tributary running through their farm and they do not change that tributary, they don't alter it, they don't add pollutants to it, then they would not need a permit for that jurisdictional tributary to be running through their farm.
The Iowa Farm Bureau again has said that a lot of farmers in this state are trying to implement some conservation practices, and this new regulation will get in the way of their efforts to install conservation measures along waterways.
Well, I have heard that concern raised by a number of farmers in Iowa, and I would tell you a couple of things about that. First of all, our agency supports the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy and the need for installation of conservation practices to protect both soil and water quality. So we are very supportive of conservation practices being installed on farms. Conservation practices installed in uplands or dry lands, as we would call it, are exempt from this rule. So the rule does not change how conservation practices have been regulated, so to speak, in the past. So if it was a conservation practice that was installed that did not need a Section 404 permit before, it would not need a Section 404 permit now.
And then if the farmer wanted to install a wetland beside a tributary or perhaps or a bioreactor before the waters reach a tributary, would that require a permit?
Well, installation of a bioreactor at the end of a tile drain, which is typically where a bioreactor is constructed, would not be jurisdictional, would not require a permit because the tile drain itself is exempt from this rule. The rule is very clear about groundwater and tile drains are not jurisdictional. Now, the situation with a wetland would depend upon the specifics of that particular farm and whether or not, as you indicated, a tributary was nearby and where that wetland was going to be constructed. So in that kind of a situation, they would need to talk with the Corps of Engineers and determine whether or not a permit is needed. And one of the things I'd like to point out is what's really important now is implementation of this rule, and both nationally and regionally, we are working, of course, with the Corps because this is a jointly administered rule, but also with the state environmental and ag departments and with NRCS because we recognize that NRCS staff are on the ground in these communities working with farmers, and one of the objectives that we are working on in implementation is making sure that everyone understands what is and isn't jurisdictional. So if an NRCS staff person is in the field and they get questions, that they will understand the rule and be able to advise the farmer whether or not they need to talk to the Corps of Engineers. We have been working on that very diligently in our region, and we are working with our national counterparts at the Corps and in EPA headquarters to assure that any guidance that comes out nationally addresses all of these important points and that staff from all of these agencies are appropriately trained.
Okay, so just to recap, the changes to the Clean Water Act, what you're calling the Clean Water Rule, the new rule, this happens at a time when we're hearing all over the country about water quality issues, municipalities threatened with undrinkable water, and yet you describe this as a clarification of previous Supreme Court decisions. I'm just wondering kind of which is it really? Is it a clarification of what the Supreme Court has said, or is it an attempt to improve the situation on the ground with water quality and drinking water?
Well, it's really a bit of both. Part of what we're trying to do here is ensure that waters that feed important downstream waters. So that tributary may look small compared to, say, a larger river in Iowa, for example, but that tributary is contributing flow to that larger water, and we want to make sure that the flow that's being contributed is not polluted and doesn't negatively impact that downstream water. So that's what we're really trying to accomplish here with this rule.
So, does the new Clean Water Rule muddy the waters about the EPA's jurisdiction, as the Farm Bureau claims? Find out for yourself by visiting the EPA website, epa.gov/cleanwaterrule. There you will find a rule summary and fact sheet, or follow the links on our website, khoifm.org. This has been Tuning Into Agriculture with your host, Greta Anderson, and theme music by Robert Schumann, The Happy Farmer.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Paul Wearson, your host, together with Ursula Rudenberg, and today we talked about Colo's Crossroads Festival, which will be happening this weekend. Colo is straight east on Highway 30, about halfway to Marshalltown. Be sure and attend the Crossroads Festival. And we've talked with Ray Wearson, the entertainer, who will be there at 11 o'clock on Saturday to have his two-hour show. He was here by phone from Davenport to tell you about the festival. And we also spoke with Sandra Human Kelly from the Festival Planning Group and the owner of the fabulous Nylon Cafe in Colo.
On the old Lincoln Highway, we spoke with award-winning Story County planners, Deb Sheldroth, Director of External Operations and County Services for Story County, and Leanne Harder, a County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, and we were talking about the Cornerstone to Capstone Project, otherwise known as C2C. If you're a Story County resident, it involves your input, and we will post a link to their survey on our website, khoifm.org. You have till the end of the month of July to let the folks in Story County know what your vision is for Story County's future. Very important for the democratic process. And finally, Greta Anderson interviewed Karen Flordney, Director of the Water, Wetlands, and Pesticides Division of the Environmental Protection Agency, Region 7, about recent expansion of water protection that was introduced by the Environmental Protection Agency. You can also listen to today's entire local show, local talk show, and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And there you will also find information about the people you heard today on the shows, the issues, and contact information and links to resources mentioned on all of our shows.
Local Talk was engineered today by Rebecca Reuter, and our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard today included All Shook Up, the old Elvis Presley song, sung here by Ray Wearson on the show. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website at khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as audience makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening today, and see you again on the radio.